Welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Purdyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Purdyman, to discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast after I finished my master's dissertation on homicide in early medieval England. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Today we'll be jumping back into Egil's Saga, part of the Icelandic sagas.
So when we last left Egil's Saga, we were seeing Egil develop into a strong-willed, stubborn child with a gift of verse. As usual, we will begin not with Egil, but with the people and events important to Egil's story, which will impact him later. In Norway, there were two friends, Bjørndrof and Thorn Haraldsson, the Hersir. Both were landowners and well-to-do. Bjørndrof had two sons, Bjorn and Thord. Bjorn attended a feast in Fjorden during the summer and was smitten with Thora, who was Thorn Haraldsson's sister. Bjorn asked for Thor's hand in marriage, but Thorin refused him and they parted ways.
What is a Hersir?
No idea.
We don't know. Okay. All right.
That same autumn, Bjorn gathered a band of men and set off for Fjordland. When he arrived at Thorin's farm, he found that Thorin was not there. Bjorn then took Thora away and returned to his home in Araland, where they wintered. He told his father he wanted to hold a wedding and marry Thora. Bjørndrof disapproved of what Bjorn had done and felt he had disgraced his long friendship with Thorin. Bjørndrof told Bjorn he would not marry Thorin in his house without the permission of her brother. And while Thora was in my home, she will be treated exactly as if she were my own daughter and your sister. Bjorn had no choice but to abide by his father's orders.
So they just stole her.
Well, I think she kind of liked Bjorn, but yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Kidnapped her. I don't know that it was against her will. But then again, I don't know how much say women had during the time.
Probably not much.
Yep. Bjorn offered Thorin reconciliation and compensation for what Bjorn had done. Thorin said there could be no reconciliation without the return of Thorin. Bjorn refused to return Thora, who by this time was living with Bjorn's mother in Araland. As spring drew near, Bjørndrof and Bjorn were discussing their plans. Bjorn asked his father for a long shipping crew so he could go raiding, which his father refused, worried he would show up where he did not want him. Bjørndrof said he would give Bjorn a trading ship and cargo, sending him to Dublin to trade, as it was the most illustrious journey you could make at the time. Bjorn accepted, and Bjørndrof provided him with a ship, cargo, and a good crew. Bjorn boarded his boat with a crew of 12 and made his way to Araland, where his mom was. There he talked to his mother and was able to take Thorin and all her belongings with them. As they sailed away from Norway in an attempt to get as far away from as possible, they got caught up in a storm and were beached at Musa, a small island in the Shetland Islands. They wintered there at a fort and repaired their boat. While they were there, Bjorn and Thora were married.
Okay, so they hadn't been married before that.
No, I mean, his father wouldn't allow it at his house, so his father sent Thora to live with his mother, who was living somewhere else.
Okay.
And then he wouldn't give him the trading, he wouldn't give him the longship because he knew that Bjorn would pull something like this, and he thought if he only had a smaller ship with a cargo, that he wouldn't pull this stunt, and he actually did.
Okay.
So they were trying to get away from Norway. They ended up in the Shetland Islands. A storm came up, and they were spending the winter at a fort.
So is Musa still there, the island?
It is. You can still go to the island of Musa in the Shetland Islands.
Interesting.
That same winter in Shetland, which a different part of the islands, a ship arrived from the Orkneys. The crew reported that emissaries of King Harald had arrived and told Earl Sigrid that the king wanted Bjorn's son killed wherever he was found. Similar messages were delivered to the Hebrides Islands and all the way to Dublin. Knowing this, that spring they set sail for Iceland and they landed near Björgefjord. Bjorn met with Skallgrim, or Baldgrim, who wanted to know who was with him. Baldgrim knew Bjorn's father and offered to provide him with assistance, to which Bjorn accepted. He also asked who else of importance was on the boat. When Bjorn got to Thora, Baldgrim found out that she was his wife. He was very pleased, as her brother Thorin was his foster brother, and because of this, he doubled down on the offer to provide assistance. They unloaded their ship and made camp in Bjornetor, or we're going to call it Bjorn's Field, living kind of with Baldgrim.
Okay, all right, let's break that down. Let's break that down a little bit. That's a lot of names, and I'm trying to follow.
Oh, okay, so let me see if I can clear it up for you. So Bjorn, when he landed, he met with Baldgrim. And
he landed in Iceland.
In Iceland. Okay. It Bjorn, it Borgarfjord.
Okay.
And so when he landed there, Bjorn wanted to know who his people were, which was a common way back then to ask, who are your ancestors? Because ancestry was big back there.
Okay.
Back then. Yeah. So when he told them that he was Bjornfjord's son, he liked that because he kind of knew him.
Okay.
Baldgrim. But then when he told them he was married to Thora, who was Thorin's daughter, he really liked that because Thorin, if you remember, was Baldgrim's foster brother. And they kind of grew up together.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so then Baldgrim was more willing to help out the newly married couple.
Okay.
When the ships from Iceland returned in the autumn from Norway, the rumor began to spread that Bjorn had been outlawed by the King of Norway for marrying Thora without her kinsman's consent. Upon hearing the rumor, Baldgrim confronted Bjorn and wanted to know why he lied to him. Bjorn said he did not lie, but rather answered the question that Baldgrim asked him. He also said he did not seek him out, but rather landed here, and there knew there was no point in trying to avoid Baldgrim. Bjorn asked for fair treatment as a guest in his house. Thorolf, Skallgrim's son and Egil's brother, made a long speech on Bjorn's behalf, as did several others. In the end, Baldgrim calmed down and told Thorolf, "You take care of him and treat him as well as you please." With that, Bjorn and Thorolf became good friends. That summer, Thora had a daughter who was sprinkled with water and given the name Asgard. Bera, Skallgrim's wife, assigned a woman to look after Asgard. Thorolf asked Baldgrim to speak to Thorin on Bjorn's behalf, which he did, and compensation and reconciliation was reached. And it's not like you picked up the phone or you texted. They had to send people from Iceland to Norway to meet with Thorin and get this all arranged.
How long do you think the boat trip was from one place to the other? Like a couple days, like a week, a couple weeks?
I think it was several days.
Okay.
And it's a good question, but I think they did it in bites. I think they may have gone, they may have gone straight from Norway to Iceland, but they may have gone to the Shetland Islands, the Orkney Islands, Ireland, and then.
Okay.
But they may have just made it. But it sounded like it was several days' voyage.
Okay.
So Skogren had kind of brokered a reconciliation and compensation. So Bjorn and Thora returned to Norway, and Thorwulf accompanied them. Prior to leaving, Bear asked if Asgard could stay with them in Iceland, as she is very fond of there of her. Mm-hmm. This was agreed to. The party first, when they arrived in Norway, returned to the Bjornjof home, where a meeting had been arranged and compensation was accepted and the reconciliation finalized. So during this time, Bjorn and Thorulf did what Vikings do. They raided in the Baltic, and then they went to see Thorin and were greeted warmly and anchored their ship near the farm. Thorulf had acquired a particularly beautiful boat that was richly painted above the plumb line, so above the water line. Thorin was on the best of terms with King Harald. He had fostered King Harald's favorite sons, Eric, who became Eric the Bloodaxe.
So, in their culture, fostering is just, you know, them staying with you, or...
Yeah, I think it's just staying with you.
Okay.
And letting you raise them.
So kind of fostering, like our...
It is kind of fostering, but it's more formal and it's with people you know.
So it's like a sign of trust.
It is a sign of trust and respect. You know, like in northern New Mexico, when I was growing up, it wasn't uncommon for the firstborn son of a family or the firstborn grandchild to be raised by the grandparents. I had a couple of friends that they were raised by the grandparents.
But the rest of the siblings weren't.
His brother and his sister were not.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, Thorin was on good terms with King Harald and actually was raising Eric the Bloodaxe. Thorin and Bjorn noticed Eric repeatedly boarding the boat and admiring it for his beauty. Bjorn told Thorin it would make a good gift of the boat to the young prince, as the king still had ill feelings towards Baldgrim. So Thorin offered Eric the boat, which he accepted, saying, "You will not think the pledge of my friendship much reward for it, but it was likely be worth more the longer I live." So he said, "Right now I can't do much for you, but later on I'll probably be king, so I can help you out, brother." They parted as friends, and Eric was always warm towards them. At this time, Bjorn and Thorulf went to Thorin and asked if King Harald had ill feelings towards Baldgrim and his family. Thorin said, yeah, he had heard the king still did not hold them in any favor. With that, Bjorn asked Thorin to speak to the king on Thorin's behalf. So Thorin, Bjorn, and Eric set out to meet King Harald. They left Thorulf behind in case things went bad, I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense.
When the subject of Baldgrim came up, the king was curt with his reply, saying, "The Night Wolf, if you remember, Skogrim's dad,
yeah,
and his sons posed a great threat to them, and he did not imagine any of their kinsmen could be any different." So we got some grudge going here.
Mm-hmm.
He said they were all overbearing and did not know when to stop. Eric spoke on Thorulf's behalf and said he had promised him absolute friendship, and he spoke of the gift of the boat. In the end, the king promised to leave Thorulf in peace. He did say that he did not want Thorulf to come see him, and warned Eric that they either treat you more gently than they treated me, or you will regret this favor you have asked of me, especially if they are with you for any length of time.
Okay, so question. So, King Harald is still in Norway.
Correct. This is all going on in Norway.
Okay, but Skallagrim is in Iceland.
Yeah, Skallgrim's in Iceland, and he will probably never leave Iceland.
Okay. Because
he'd pretty much been outlawed by the king.
Okay, so, you know, so Iceland isn't part of the king's domain.
I think it's more of like a free country.
Okay.
As people move from Norway. I mean, I think what you're seeing in Iceland right now is a lot of people fleeing what they didn't like about Norway. And I don't think the king has great influence in Norway.
Okay.
Thorolf and Bjorn wintered with Bjorn's father, and they spent many summers raiding, sometimes with Thorin. Eric the Blood Axe during this time became king of Norway. One spring, Eric was making preparations for raiding and took Thorolf as his standard bearer. And that's a big deal. During this journey, Eric fought a great battle on the river Dinva, which I Googled, and it's way up kind of the border of Finland and Russia, and you come into it from the Arctic Sea. And so I don't know if they sailed around through the Arctic Sea to get there, if the sea ice was gone, or if they came up and they just went overland. It was really interesting. As a result of this battle, Eric married Gunhild, the daughter of Orsard Snout. Gunhild was a very attractive and wise and well-versed in the magic arts. Gunhild and Thorolf struck up a close friendship. Thorolf would raid with Eric in the summer and winter with him in the winter. Bjorn's wife fell ill during this time and died. And eventually Bjorn took another wife, Olaf, and they had they named their daughter Gunhild.
That's confusing.
So as we go through the story, it's going to get more confusing as we go, but it's going to be in another edition. So,
all right.
So one summer, as Thorolf made ready to go trading, he was planning on going to Iceland as he had been away for a long time and he wanted to see his father. As he was ready to leave, he went to see King Eric. Eric gave Thorolf a splendid-looking axe with a crescent blade and inlaid gold and silver to give to Baldgrim. When he arrived in Iceland, he presented his father with the axe, who inspected it without saying a word, hung it over his bed. In the autumn, as Skallgrim prepared a number of oxen for slaughter, he went and got the axe, the king's present. The first blow severed the oxen's head, but the axe struck the stone, shattering the blade. He took the axe without saying a word and now hung it in the fire room.
I don't understand the significance of any of that.
Okay, so the king presented Skallgrim with this gift of an axe, and it's supposedly should be a great axe. And so Skallgrim, or Baldgrim, was like, I'm going to put it in my bedroom. So he hung it in his bedroom, you know, because here's a present from the king. And as he was getting ready to slaughter his oxen, he's like, let's see what this axe has got. So he grabs the axe, uses it, and the axe shatters after one blow. So obviously Baldgrim at this point is thinking, the king's axe, not much of a present.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna hang it in the fire room, which is probably where the fires were burning, and it's not a place of prominence.
Okay. So he's like, the king double crossed me, kind of.
Yeah, or, you know, the king
insulted me.
The king did insulted me or disrespected me, and this axe was not what it should be.
Okay. Gotcha.
So in the spring, Thorolf prepared to go abroad for the summer. Skallgrim attempted to discourage him, but Thorolf said he had pressing business, as he had promised Bjorn he would bring Asgard to meet him. Thorolf said the next time he returned, he would settle in Iceland. Baldgrim went to the fire room and took down the axe. The handle was black with soot, the axe had gone rusty. Skallgrim inspected the edge and handed it to Thorolf, speaking this verse. Many flaws lie in the edge of the fearsome wound biter. I know a feeble tree feller. There is vile treachery in this axe. I hand this blunt crescent back with its sooty shaft. I have no use for it. Such was the gift from the king.
All right.
So at this point, he's like, you know what? You're going back to Norway. Take this back to the king and tell him thanks, but no thanks.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. Right. So we've talked kind of what's going on with Egil's brother up to this point.
This is Egil's brother.
Egil's brother, Thorolf.
Okay. All right.
And his friendship with Bjorn and Asgard, mm-hmm. Bjorn's daughter. And it just...
I thought it was Bjorn's wife.
No. Bjorn's wife was Thorolf.
But then he remarried.
Right. So we're talking several years.
Okay.
Because now Thorolf's older, Asgard's old enough to travel, make the journey back to Norway.
Oh, okay. I see.
Okay. Bjorn has stayed in Norway. Her father stayed in Norway.
Okay.
And it's just Thorolf that came back to see his father. And then he probably spent a year or two there.
Okay.
So now we have kind of an abrupt change in story. I apologize. So we've talked about what Egil's brother Thorolf was doing. You know, kind of the King Harald is now gone, but still harbored some ill feelings towards Baldgrim and the whole family. They've kind of made amends with Erik the Blood Axe.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, while this is going on, I'm going to try and bring you into what's going on with Egil at this point.
All right.
Because as he's a young man, and we'll tie this all together. So while Thorolf and Bjorn and this is going on with Thora and Asgard and stuff, now let's talk about Egil.
Okay.
So when last we left him, he was probably about 7 years old, and he's like following people around, going to parties without his dad's permission, you know, showing up at feasts, getting drunk at a very young age.
Yeah.
So Egil was a keen wrestler, but was impetuous and quick-tempered. And everyone knew that they should teach their sons to give in to him.
Wait, so how old is he at this point?
I'm thinking he's probably somewhere between 7 and 10.
Okay. He's very young.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to think about it, he's living on the farm. There's some people around. You know, it's kind of like your neighborhood growing up. You know, so people in the neighborhood knew that Egil's a handful, and you know, it's kind of best to let their sons kind of give in to him.
Okay.
Otherwise it could be trouble. But Egil's dad, Baldgrim, took great delight in trials of strength and games. Ball games were common those days, and plenty of strong men took part. None could match Baldgrim in strength, even though he was fairly advanced in age by then. A ball game was arranged in early winter by the river Hvita, or maybe Vita, and crowds of people came from all over the district. Many of Baldgrim's men attended. There was a guy named Thorid Grandson, and he was their leader. Thorid was a promising young man, and he was very fond of Egil. Egil asked Thorid if he could go to the games with him, and Thorid took him with him. As the men divided up into teams, the boys, who were there, did the same to play their own game. Egil paired against a boy called Grim from Heg, who was 10 or 11 years old and strong for his age. Egil was 7 at the time.
Okay.
Egil proved to be a little weaker than Grim, who showed off his strength as much as he could. Egil then lost his temper and wielded a bat and struck Grim.
Ooh.
Grim seized Egil, dashed him into the ground, warning him he would suffer if he did not learn how to behave. Egil got up and left the game with the other boys cheering at him. Egil went to see Thorid and told him what happened. Thorid said, "I'll go with you and we'll take our revenge."
Oh, that seems a little much.
Yeah. So Thorid handed Egil an axe he'd been holding.
Oh, no.
And they went over to where the boys were playing the game. Grim was running with the ball, and Egil went up to him and struck him in the head, driving the axe deep into his skull and into his brain, killing him.
Oh my god. Wow. That seems like quite the overreaction. We're just gonna kill him for young boy games.
Yeah, well, we're gonna see some more overreactions here. Egil and Thorid walked back to where their people were.
So they just kill him and they walk away.
Yep. So the people from Haig, which Grim was from, grabbed their weapons, as did others. Olaf rushed to join the people from Borg.
So
we've got the people from Haig, which is Grim. Okay. We got the people from Borg.
Which is the kid who died.
No. The people from Haig are the kid who died.
Oh, we yes.
The people from Borg are going to be Egil's people or Thord's people or Skullgrim's people. There's another guy there named Olif. And he chooses to grab his people and side with the Borg people.
Okay.
So he sides with them. There's a confrontation that takes place between both sides. I don't think any violence takes place at that time, and they kind of separate. Hmm. But for whatever reason, a quarrel developed between the people, between Olif and the Haig people.
Oh.
And they eventually end up fighting a battle near Lafik, near the river Gimza, where 7 men are killed. And I'm not sure how soon after this is. But in this battle, Haig and his brother Kiviv died in the battle. So, you know, Egil starts some stuff as a kid, and it spills over with 7 guys being killed later on. I'm not sure how much later, but, you know, as a result of the bad blood between people, because Egil lost his temper and killed Grim, we have this happening.
Yeah, so we just got a 7-year-old killing somebody, whacking him in the brain with an axe, an 11-year-old, and for some reason, nobody gets punished in that scenario. And later, 7 men died, unrelated, kind of.
Well, it's very related because the grudge started with the killing of Grim.
So weird. Okay, all right.
And we're going to see a lot of that kind of grudge stuff as we talk through here. Some this time, much more next time, I'm thinking.
Hmm.
So when Egil returned home, bald Grim, indifferent to what happened.
He was like, "You killed a dude, it's fine."
Yeah, kind of indifferent to it. But Bera, her reaction, said Egil had the true making of a Viking, and when he was old enough, he should be put in command of warships.
Okay.
Egil spoke this verse. "My mother said I would be brought a boat with fine oars and set off with Vikings. Stand up on the prow, command the precious craft, then enter port and kill a man and another."
So he's looking forward to it.
Oh, he's being developed. Yeah. He's being developed here.
Okay.
So when Egil was 12, he was so big that few grown men were big and strong enough that they could beat him at games. At that time, Thorid, if you remember the guy who gave him the axe, was 20 and strong as well. And playing these games, they often took took sides together against Baldgrim.
Against Eagle's father.
Right. Who was, you know, we know he's got a temper. We know a lot of things about him. That he's big, he's strong.
You know. So this is all in fun, right?
Starts out in fun. Let's see how it ends up.
Oh, no.
During the winter, there was a game in Bjorg, which Egil and Thord. During the winter, there was a game in Bjorg in which Egil and Thord were paired off against Skallgrim. Skallgrim became tired, and Thord and Egil were coming off better, so they were winning. But shortly after sunset, Egil and Thord began to lose. Skallgrim was filled with such strength that he grabbed Thord and dashed him into the ground so fiercely that he was crushed by the blow and died on the spot.
Oh my god.
It's a violent game.
Yeah.
Then Baldgrim sees Egil.
His own son.
His own son. There's Thorid Brak, was a servant woman who fostered Egil when he was a child. She yelled at Skallgrim, "You are attacking your own son like a mad beast."
Yeah.
Skallgrim then let Egil go and began to chase her. She fled with Skallgrim chasing her. They came to the shore at the end of Diggerens, and she ran off the edge of the cliff into the water and started to swim away. Skallgrim threw a large boulder at her, which hit her between the shoulder blades. Neither the boulder or the woman came back to the surface. This area is now called Brakasund or Brak Sound.
Okay, so now we've had three people die. Well, no, two people die in the course of these games.
Correct.
All right.
No, we got three. We got Thorid, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Brak lady's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grimm is dead
From earlier. Okay.
So it's not a game I want to join.
No.
Okay. Egil was furious at his father. And I'm not sure if it's because he killed the woman who fostered him, or if it's because he killed his friend Thorid.
Or both.
So when they returned to Bjorg and sat down for dinner, Egil had not taken his seat. Egil walked into the room and went over to Baldgrim's favorite man, the man who was in charge of the workers and ran the farm with Baldgrim. Egil killed him with a single blow. Then Egil just sat down.
Wow. So, like, how did he kill him? Just axe punched him so hard he died? Like...
All I got was a single blow, so I don't know if he had a weapon, or I would imagine he had a weapon.
Okay, he didn't just, like, punch him really hard.
Yeah, but so after that, Baldgrim did not mention the matter and let it rest.
So during dinner, he was like, all right, sit down and we'll eat.
Yeah, it's just part of being a Viking, I guess. And so... you know, they didn't mention it, but the father and son, Baldgrim and Egil, did not speak to each other. Neither a kind word nor an unkind word the rest of the winter.
So that's a grudge right there. Yeah, I mean, a necessary grudge. That seems pretty understandable. Lots of people just died.
Yeah. And then we're not going to talk about it.
All right.
And there's no consequences.
Okay.
So now we are jumping back to where we left Thorulf as he prepared to sail abroad. Egil went to Baldgrim and asked him to equip him to go with Thorulf on his voyage. Baldgrim asked him if he had talked to his brother Thorulf about it. Egil said he had not, and Skallgrim told him he must talk to Thorulf first. When Egil approached Thorulf with his request, Thorulf refused him, saying, "If father cannot handle you in his own house, there's no way you'll be able to get away acting the way you do here. You can't do that abroad."
Okay.
And then Egil replied, "Maybe neither of us will go." So he's kind of a little crap.
Well, how old is Thorulf here?
I'm thinking Thorulf's probably late teens, early 20s.
Okay. right.
And I think Eggles probably, I think we've got him around 12.
Okay.
So, grow up quick. So, that night, Eggles snuck down to where Thorolf's ship was tied up and cut the ropes and set it adrift in the fjord.
Oh my god, Eagle's just kind of a little... He's a problem child.
He's got his thing going here, man. A storm came up and drove the ship across the fjord, making it more difficult to recover. Thorolf was furious with Eggle over the incident. When confronted, Eggle admitted to setting the boat adrift and said he would cause Thorolf more trouble if he did not take him on his trip. Other people intervened on Eggle's behalf, and in the end, Eggle accompanied Thorolf on the trip.
So Eggle's just getting rewarded for doing all this crap.
Yeah, well, he's not having any consequences, that's for sure.
No, but then they're like, yeah, you should go. Other people are like, yeah.
But I mean, I think, you know, as you read through some of this stuff, you know, his dad is kind of the big cheese.
Yeah.
And so his sons get a degree of
privilege.
Oh, huh. Exactly. That's the word I'm looking for. His sons get a degree of privilege, mm-hmm. and they kind of run with it. Mm-hmm. So now we know, you know, as we talked, Thorolf's mission was to take Asgard back.
Yes.
To meet her father Bjorn.
Okay.
And Thorolf had been given the axe to take back to Eric the Blood Axe. And now Egil's going on this trip.
Okay.
So as Thorolf set sail with Asgard and Egil and the crew, he takes the axe that Skallgrim had given him to return to Eric, and he drops it into the fjord and watch it sink into the darkness. I think at this point he's like, I'm not taking it back. Baldgrim, dad will never know. But if I take it back, I'm going to start all kinds of
crap. Okay.
I don't need to. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, I just saw where they recovered a medieval sword that had dropped in the water off the coast of Israel that they think had been down there since the Crusades.
Interesting.
So I don't know if Bezos or Zuckerberg or someone like that might want to mount an expedition to find this sword,
this
axe that's in the thing. If I hit the lotto, it might be something that I think about, because that'd just be interesting to see if you could find it. So upon arriving in Norway, they found that Bjorn's father, Bjornjof, had died of an illness during the winter, and his son shared the inheritance. Shortly after arriving, they went to see Bjorn and presented him with his daughter, Asgard. She's a fine, accomplished woman, knowledgeable and wise, and there was a very joyful reunion. Thorolf then went to see King Eric and delivered a greeting from Skallgrim, thanking him for the gift of the axe, and presented the king with a longship sail from Skallgrim.
Oh, so he just went behind his dad's back. It was like, we're just going to make sure everybody's good. There's no war.
Exactly. He's like, I'm going to kind of smooth things out here. King Eric was very pleased and asked Thorolf to winter with him.
All right.
Thorolf thanked the king for his offer, but said he had pressing business with Thorin.
Mm.
Thorolf was warmly greeted by Thorin and asked to winter with him. Thorolf accepted his offer and said, there's a man with me, Egil, that will stay wherever I stay and go wherever I go. He is my brother, and he has never been away from home before and needs me to keep an eye on him. Thorolf said he was welcome to have as many men with him as he wanted and was pleased to have Egil there. If he is anything like Thorolf, he would be an asset to have around.
Oh, that's not going to go well.
Right. Yeah. So Thorolf approached Thorin and asked him if he would support in asking for Asgard's hand in marriage, as she was his niece.
Oh, so Thorolf isn't married to Asgard.
Not yet.
Okay. I thought they were married. Okay.
But I thought it was interesting that he's friends with Bjorn, her father. Mm-hmm. He'd already met with Bjorn when he brought Asgard. But yet he goes and asks the uncle if he'd support him in marrying Asgard. But Thorin was very supportive of this idea. Thorolf went to see Bjorn, who asked him to stay with him. Thorolf approached Bjorn about marrying his daughter, Asgard, and Bjorn's request was received favorably. The marriage was to be held in the autumn. Thorolf returned to Thorin, who was pleased that the marriage had been arranged, because, you know, they were all kind of good friends.
So it's winter now.
It's spring.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're asking people to winter with us later this year.
Right.
Okay.
So Thorolf asked many people to join him at his wedding feast. Thorin, Agerborn, and then the farmhands and more prominent tenant farmers of Thorin's. And when the date approached for them to sail to the wedding, Egil fell ill and was unable to accompany the party to the wedding. Egil was left to recover at Thorin's, and now his brother Thorolf is gone.
Okay.
So next time, we're going to find out what an unsupervised Egil could get into. Now, my thought is, I mean, Thorolf has worked really hard not to incur the wrath of King Eric the Blood Axe. But now we've got Egil unsupervised.
In Norway.
What's going to happen?
Well, and okay. So we have all this weird grudge situation happening where everybody dies and everything. How much do you think alcohol played a role? Or do you think this is just who they are?
I don't know. I mean, like I'm not sure how prominent alcohol was. I mean, like the feasts, I know that they really hit the mead. And I'm assuming if it was like a lot of things in the Middle Ages, you didn't drink water. You drank some form of alcohol because it wouldn't kill you. So I imagine there's a fair bit of alcohol. And I think probably the norms and the standards at the time. I mean, you know, you see the grudges developing. You know, like the King Harald was still mad over the years at Baldgrim.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll find out what happens with Eric the Blood Axe. But, you know, and I got to thinking about it in terms of today. Do we hold grudges the same way? And I think the answer is yes. I just think we deal with them differently.
Because we don't kill people, generally.
We don't kill people. We release their emails. We cancel culture them. We do a bunch of different things. But we just
murder them.
We don't murder them, but okay. we will actively subvert them or avoid them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it may be easier to avoid people today than it was years ago. The other thing, too, is there's so much going on today that you just kind of move on. We're there if, you know... If you've got a problem with somebody and then in the fall and then you winter over it, you just fester.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really interesting in kind of what the norms and the standards are. And I think one of the things that you'll see as we go through this is Baldgrim had been kind of, he's been divvying up land to people that come and giving them certain areas of Iceland and certain responsibilities. Maybe they're working for him and it's still his land. Maybe he's given them land to do. And I can see where potentially where Egil is going to either renege on that, or is he going to honor some of the things that his father's done? I mean, so I'm sure we'll be seeing that in the next, sorry to say, several episodes, because this is a very When you get down into the saga, it's very, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
A lot to track down, but it's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Twitter account at Murder Medieval, our Instagram account at Medieval Murder, or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. And if any of you are interested in rocking some Medieval Murder merchandise, take a look at our website, medievalmurder.com. Tune in just 1 week for our Halloween special podcast episode.